The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
In this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
This is where woke started. These guys sitting around listening to Mr. Rogers drinking Ovaltine. This is when the little sissy started taking over. When I did that for Doug because he's always teasing me about my age. When I was a kid and we woke up in the morning, my mom was trying to give me breakfast. And I'm going, I haven't got time. I've got water snakes to kill. Get out of my way. That's what the men started. So we've got a special guest here today from Florida.
Well, Clint, let me interrupt now, Nick. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest.
On Wednesday.
We're pre-recording. I've got a race up in Seattle that's going to be wet and ugly, and hopefully I'm back for our next show. But yes, Nick, that was an old, simpler time, Mr. Rogers. So, who is our guest? What are we talking about today, Nick?
Clint Curtis. We're talking about electronic voting machines. Clint flew in from Florida to be at the Shasta County Supervisors meeting. That was very interesting. Clint was working on the programming for voting machines or something like that. You know, I'm technologically challenged, so he'll explain it to you. Before they were invented, and he's going to explain to us how it is possible for somebody to go into those machines and change the results. Clint, go ahead.
Good morning, Clint.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, sir.
Basically, name's Clint Curtis. I'm an attorney now, do election law, do Camp Lejeune cases for Terminal Marines.
Let me let the audience in on a secret, too. He's a Democrat.
I am a Democrat. I'm a Biden Democrat.
Now, let's make it even worse. He's in Florida in DeSantis, so this is going to be a good conversation. I'm looking forward to this.
You know, there's very few Democrats I can get along with, and you're one of them.
Oh, well.
And there's a few. All we want to do is talk and get along. Explain to us what you thought of the local Democrats yesterday at the supervisors meeting.
I was a little surprised by them. I've been all over the country. I talked to Democrats for 20 years. These were a little aggressive. They would like shout out things in the middle of people trying to speak, and they were actually a little on the mean side, and I've never seen that anywhere. Democrats don't do that. We're the polite guys. You know, you guys have a couple of the hard right wingers that like to jump up and yell. I have never heard that from the Democrats, and it was just surprising to me. I'm wondering, you know, if
you must have missed the recent Stanford when the judge was out in front of the class and he got shouted down by the whole audience.
I did not see that.
See, there we go. But that's okay. We're here to talk about your voting machines.
See, well, hopefully we can get back to polite
because
it doesn't really save anything.
No.
To be standing there, you know, and screaming out and trying to interrupt people talking. That's not the proper way to do it.
Well, just let me tell you, Nick and I only beat up on each other.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's all we do. We're nice to our guests.
Oh, you can beat up on me. I'm easy. Anyway, back in 2000, I was a programmer. I programmed like everywhere for all the big companies and the departments and stuff like that. Program for Department of Transportation, Exxon Mobil, Ryder Trucks, NASA, you name it. We've written code, right? Prototyper, generally. In 2000, I was working at a company in Oviedo, Florida, had a lot of government contracts, and the Speaker of the Florida House, Jeb Bush's running mate, and our corporate attorney came in and requested that these electronic voting machines, they hadn't existed yet. This was before they were even rolled out. So this was like a prototype of a system that could be invented. So he wanted it to be able to be basically an electronic system that you could vote on. But one of the requirements was he wanted to make it so that you could actually flip the votes inside. Now, this is right off the bat. It's not like, okay, we got a system. Can you break it? We're going to break it before we roll it out, right? It's already broken. Essentially, that's easy to do. If you are the programmer, you own the universe. Everything that happens on that computer belongs to the programmer. There are no log files. There are no ballot images. There's nothing exists that I don't write. It is empty space. And people understand. They go, oh, we can check the log files. You can check the log files if I let you, but you're going to read whatever I give you, you know. And they'll say, oh, we have this interface. Well, you have that interface. That is the video game I let you play with, but that doesn't mean anything. It might be connected to the back end and make it work correctly, or it might not. I can do anything I want to do in that program, anything. And I can make you think you did something else, but none of that matters. So, like when the dye bowl machines came out and people were doing the touchscreens, remember the touchscreens? I was part of getting rid of those. People would come in and they'd push somebody and they'd see it jump to somebody else.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
That's just bad programming. Because it doesn't matter what you push on the screen. I can still choose anything I want. I don't have to make it jump to another button.
Wow.
That's just silly. You know, that's wasted time. So probably they had the functionality code where they would have the button go and then call the function. You don't have to do it that way. Just skip that part and go, okay, you push that. I don't care. I'm voting for the other person. And I can do that because I'm the programmer and you really can't see anything going on.
And that's how this whole thing started way back in 2000.
Way back in 2000. In 2004, there was an election, Bush-Kerry. And the one that I wrote actually was 5149. Well, I should go back to the end of that. I wrote it. I wrote how you stop it. Basically, you can't use computers for elections. The problem is you can't trust them. There's too many layers to fix, not only on the programming layer. You know, the programming layer, the company could actually make those changes as they wished. So they control the elections. But they don't have to. They could be completely innocent, and someone else can come in from the side and actually change their entire system. And it's very easy to do.
In today's world, they call it hacking.
Hacking, right.
Hacking.
Yes, they're easy to hack. There's multiple layers. There is the initial programming layer, okay? That's where you make the pretty little interface that you people play with, okay? May work, may not. Depends on how I feel that day, okay? Then you have the second layer. Right? The second layer is the firmware. The 440,000 other files on your system that makes things work. Any of those files can be changed. Any of those files can be added, and the whole system can be altered. Okay? Then there is down on the component level. Okay? We get all of our chips from China. All of them.
Nothing wrong with that, is there?
Nothing wrong with that, except that people think that these chips don't know anything. There's no such thing as a stupid chip. If you have a chip that doesn't have code connected to it, what you have is a piece of silicon. Because until you tell it what that chip is trying to do, it doesn't do anything. So you have to address the chip, you have to talk to it, you have to tell it what its function is. You have to give it life. Every program I've ever written for NASA, Exxon, all these people, every program you ever write has a backdoor. Everyone. It's standard in programming because the customer will do something stupid and go in like a race the administrative table. And then the contractor has to come in and create this miracle and actually fix the machine, right? And do it fairly quickly. But, you know, people don't want to know about backdoors, but if you don't have one, you probably can't keep your product out there.
Well, now, speaking of back doors, it just took me to the story of Apple when they had that shooter down in L.A. and they kept saying they can't hack the phone. They ended up, I guess, under pressure figuring it out. But their whole thing was, well, we can't do it because of the code. And you're saying that there's always a way.
There's always a way.
Okay.
There is always a way.
Okay.
And if there isn't, they'll have trouble. I mean, they don't want to admit it. I mean, I'm sure they knew right away that they could have fixed that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't figure out later, oh, looky, we found a back door. Well, you don't find a back door because they're very hard to find. You either know they're there or you don't.
Yeah.
So they knew right away they could have gotten in it. Only under pressure did they admit it was there. But it's always there. People should not think it's not there.
Well, and if they know it's there, so does, say, less friendly types know it's there as well.
Very likely.
Okay.
But on the chipset, the Chinese control it. Do you think the Chinese are so stupid that they can create these chipsets, but they have no back doors to get into them? It makes no sense.
No.
It makes no sense. You know, you can control the world. It makes no sense. And essentially, so that's the problem, is you can't trust it. And so if you put your ballot into a black box where you can't really see what's happening, then anything can happen. Computers can be used for a lot of things, but they can only be trusted for things you can check. So if you're using them for your bank and you suddenly come up with an error, I'm sure you've been told, well, we made a computer error.
Yes.
You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Well, those computer errors, they can admit because you got caught, right? Because you can catch your stuff.
Yeah.
You know what's going on. What you can't trust computers for is anything where that does not exist, where you don't have that layer of, okay, I saw you did it wrong. And so, and that's the problem.
What's worrisome to me is our whole financial system is on computers.
Well, it is, but there's always people auditing it constantly, constantly. And if anything
theoretically,
goes wrong,
SVB would be proof that's not exactly true, but well, you're right.
I'm not sure they do a great job. I mean, back in the 80s or 90s, you know, they found out that the chip was cheating, basically taking the partial pennies off and losing them for the banks. So the banks were making tons of money because the partial pennies that would occur would just default into the bank and wouldn't actually go back to the customer.
Gotcha.
So they fixed the chip. Ah, just a little error, right? Billions and billions of dollars, but just a little error.
Yeah. Small accounting and rounding error.
Small accounting, yeah. A little rounding error, no problem. So, but that's the problem, is if you can't check it, and we don't with elections, that's why you can't have computers running our elections. And another problem is we have private companies doing it. And I don't trust the government that much either. But when you put a private company in the mix, now do they have any motivation to move something one way or the other? Why have we determined that they are the angels and are above reproach? When I first started talking about this back in 2000 and something, I don't know what it was, I first started talking about it, the company came back and said, I'll give you $1 million. I'd like to shut up. Just shut up. Don't say anything else. Just disappear. It went up to $10 million. As long as this is taken, I'm wondering if I should have taken that. I mean, come on. You know.
No yes. Kidding. No kidding.
That's back when $10 million meant something, yeah. Too. So, I mean, you know, there is so much money in this that it is crazy that anyone would want to trust our elections to a private entity, a company, where we don't even know who owns it. And none of them, we know who owns it.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, we're stationed in Oklahoma. Who owns you? Well, we're a multinational firm owned by companies all around the world. Well, then,
you don't know who owns you.
Who has their thumb in the pie? We don't know.
Yep. And then I hear our votes are counted over in Spain.
They well could be.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They're probably counted first in China, however, because, you know, they have direct access.
More back doors over in China.
I am thinking if, you know, they would be amiss if they didn't try and, you know, get involved. In 2016, we had the whole Russia poking into our elections.
Yes.
Right? And everybody goes, oh, Trump is in collusion. Well, that's not necessarily true. You know, they're not going to contact a particular candidate and say, we're going to give you this election. they're going to look through the candidates they have, and they're going to try to find the one that's best for whatever they think. They could be right. They could be wrong, although Hillary would have been a bad choice for Russia because she hates Russia.
Sure.
I do, too. But neither here nor there, she would have been a bad choice, right? Same thing happened in the Netherlands. In 2018, they called me because I'm in all these documentaries and everything. I've been doing this for 20 years, so, you know, this is not – there's absolutely nothing new, I'm telling you. This is all old stuff. Netherlands calls, 2018. They said, we've been hacked into. They've gotten to our database. They've gotten into our polling books. They're in. How do we protect our elections? Being a smart aleck, and I am, I said, you take your computers and you put them in a box really fits tight, and then you throw them in the ocean because you aren't keeping them out. You know, you aren't keeping them out.
Well, now, let me go back to when you started this, because the information that I have, which is probably not even closer in the ballpark or even a grain of sand on your field, but weren't the original intent was working with the CIA so they could help Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela, and the exit polling showed that he was losing by 60-40, but he won overwhelmingly, and they said it was because the machines had been pre-programmed. Is there any truth to that? What are your thoughts on that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And you'll never be able to figure it out, because with the machines, you essentially can erase whatever you did. So, like the prototype I wrote, when I would make my flip, and I would basically allow anybody to come in and pick which race they wanted and which person they wanted to win, and then I used just 51-49. It was based on the fact that it was beyond the automatic recall, so the poor candidate that lost would have to come up with $1 million to recount the stupid thing, and even then you're not going to recount it because they won't let you see the paper. So now we're going to send it back through here, or we're going to have ballots come out from under tables, or, you know, you're not never going to be able to get there anyway. It's always messed up. But in the 51-49 thing, then I then went through and I basically changed all the logs and changed all the structure. So once you look back at it, you would never have seen that it wasn't correct. It would be perfect. So you'll never find that out. Now, it is true that we have exported a lot of our voting equipment and have come up with friendlier people that we like. Is a coincidence? You'll never know. But if I was a country anywhere and someone said, I will give you an electronic voting machine for free, don't take it. Because part of what you're getting is you are losing your democracy.
And you're losing control of the election just because now you've got players, whoever they may be, within or without, who can control the outcome of the election. So it doesn't matter who runs, how much money they spend, it's predetermined.
It can be predetermined. Now, it probably won't be predetermined every time, but I don't know that either, because you're never going to get close enough. You're never allowed to look close enough at it to find anything out. And then by the time you actually force a hand recount, which, you know, takes $1 billion and 20 court actions and other things, by the time you actually get to see the ballots, the chain of custody is so messed up that no one's going to believe it anyway. Seals are missing. Files are lost. Suddenly another 20,000 ballots appeared that wasn't there before. Who can believe it?
Well, now, you mentioned 2016. Up until, I want to say the middle 2000s there, I would go into the local precinct and do my vote and this and that. How long have we been using electronic machines here in America, shall we say?
Right after I wrote it.
Oh, really?
Right after I wrote the code, they rolled them all out.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. And so I was at least helpful in making sure that the touch screens went away, because they were even worse. Because now you don't even have any paper to look at, right? You just touch your boat, and we're going to tell you who wins.
No hanging chad.
Yes. Well, the hanging chad was a fake anyway.
Gotcha.
If you look at the Dan Rather report on it, basically in Florida, I think that was probably the preset to getting to the electronic machines.
Ah.
Because essentially what happened was in Florida, Jeb Bush ordered paper that was thinner than the paper we'd used for 10 years. He also ordered it cut differently so that it would naturally have a hanging chad, because it wouldn't come out. And that was the whole orchestrated thing. Dan Rather put on the report. Look it up online. You can still see it, but, you know, it's like no one paid much attention.
So,
and it doesn't matter because people still accepted these machines. They're now starting to go, this doesn't seem right. Something is finally wrong. And the point is you have to have trust in the elections or you don't have an election.
Absolutely.
It no longer even matters if you can prove the machines are bad because there's everything in the world thrown in front of you to try and keep you from checking them, which is a little suspicious, you might think.
Yeah.
But the fact is we don't trust them. 75% of the Democrats do not trust them, and they shouldn't.
I'm going to say 99% of real Republicans don't trust them either, so we've got a real problem.
At least 80, right. So you have a majority of the population that doesn't trust the system that's selecting the people who are your leaders and making the laws. What makes you think you're going to respect those laws?
Well, you know, the problem is, you know, for the government is we pay the government, and if we have to fight the government, we're paying for them to fight us so we can fight them. And if you don't trust them, they can come down on the heavy hand of God on top of you, and you now have to fight them at your expense and your cost and your time. And we don't trust them. I mean, I can speak for somebody who is a blood-bleeding, red, white, and blue kind of guy. And I do not trust our government one bit, period.
But if you had an election where you could actually, and we've actually ran this. I brought some equipment if you want to look at it sometime. I was trying to get the reporter for the newspaper to look at this yesterday, but they weren't interested. Essentially, you know, people make up all these lies about hand counting and how it doesn't work, how it's inaccurate and all this. It's all garbage.
Yeah.
That simply means they haven't tried. Because we actually tried. We actually set it up. We've done it in, what, dozen states now and done their ballots. And we can actually show that hand counting is extremely accurate. In fact, we're hitting 100% every time so far.
Now, listen to that, everybody.
That old gal from the League of Women Voters yesterday said there's an error of 25%.
Right. She's an idiot.
Thank you.
I'm just saying she's an idiot. She's never done it.
It's easy to have an opinion when you haven't done something.
Right. Yeah. Well, I had this problem before. I see these people that are quoted in the newspaper as saying, oh, there's a high error rate and it takes too long. And so I write them because, you know, they're Democrats. I'm Democrats. I want to, like, you know, find out what's going on and why they think that. You know, what research did they see? And they always say, well, I haven't actually seen the research. I'm relying on something that somebody told me. So it's kind of like the old cigarette commercial. Do you know if you used to have a cold, they told you to smoke a Kool? It would help your cold.
Oh.
I don't think they were right, but that was the research at the time.
Yeah, I thought it just made you look cool.
Yeah, that too. So the question was, you know, who paid for that research and did it work? So we actually set it up and we've actually done it. There's going to be a rollout in Texas where we do a whole county down there and just show how long it takes and how it's done. You don't need $1.6 million. You don't need 12,000 new employees. It's all a lie.
They're talking 1,300 for Shasta County where there's less than 100,000 voters.
A complete lie. What are they going to do? Everybody's going to count 10 ballots?
Well, that's right.
I mean, even just, you know, without doing the math, and I'm a math guy. I like math. So I actually met with the Register of Voters, you know, and a couple of the other commissioner people, and we had her staff in there. So, you know, she wasn't blindsided. So I was hoping when she knew that someone was there that knew math and had done this, that she would actually come up with legitimate numbers. Didn't even bother to try.
Nope.
Didn't even bother to try, you know.
And that's probably part of the reasons why our Board of Supervisors has voted to get rid of the Dominion machines is because there were questions, shall we say, from the 2020. And she did everything she could to hide behind, block, not allow, nobody could look.
Right.
Limited access for overseeing what was going on. And the reality is if you have nothing to hide –
yes, show everything.
Show everything. Because then you could shut the other side up. You can literally go, there you go. I've let you see everything. Did you find it? No, I didn't. Then shut up. Leave me alone.
Before we go to a break, I'd like to say that our election, our clerk of elections is the epitome of somebody that gets elected and she decides that her job is to tell us what to do, not represent us. And that is what has happened to our county here. And we're changing. We're taking it over. Stay tuned after the break. In 2 minutes, I've got Ted Nugent's going to open up the Trump rally, and then we're going to be right back here. Break time.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, bounce houses. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Zombie Arms and Ammunition, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we, it's not a monster truck read. Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them when other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Poke the Hornet's Nest here with Clint Curtis, and we're going to get right back to the local races. Clint had a meeting with a few supervisors, our Kathy Darling Allen, our clerk of the elections, and some of her staff, and he's going to talk about it to us right now.
Well, we had a meeting. It seemed very cordial. You know, she was still obviously not very cooperative with the hand count. She's really into corporate-run elections. Why? I don't know, although did I have one guy talk to me afterwards? It was kind of weird. But anyway, basically she gave me parameters of what their ballot looks like so that I could give her numbers of what it was. You know, based on the system, because, you know, we have a system, we've tested it all over the country to show a hand count work, right? System any county can build for next to nothing. You know, you can buy the parts on Amazon for $50 and put them together. It's basically just something to basically keep track of that vote, and you flip it over and you read it. Very straightforward, right? There's thousands of ways to do it. That one allows you to have a camera over it so that every citizen can see every vote. Every vote counted in every precinct, and watch the entire process. Totally available to every citizen, free.
So what you're saying is open and honest.
Open and honest.
Shut up. Get out of here.
Well, it could be dishonest, but you're going to get caught.
There you go.
Which is a problem, you know.
Yes.
So could be dishonest. You can't really say until you're done, but, you know, you would at least be able to get it on video.
Gotcha.
She said 80,000 ballots, which apparently is more than you usually have, but it doesn't matter if it's inflated. You know, people who want to have corporate elections will always inflate the numbers. They will just do that. Hopefully she won't sabotage the election and she'll finally get on board. I didn't see a lot of that yesterday. So you might want to watch her because she might try and make this hand count fail when there's absolutely no reason.
That's expected.
Yeah.
Then you might want to recall her.
Oh,
if that
boy.
Happens, you might want to recall her because there's no reason this should fail. 80,000 ballots, 20 races. One team will go through 100 ballots. I give them 4 minutes to go through it. We actually have a video I can show you later if you want sometime. I think it won't show too good on the radio. But the actual count is 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go through 100 ballots. But I use 4 minutes because some people are slower than others. Okay? Some people are faster. Number of counts per hour. In 60 minutes divided by 4 minutes is 15. So you're going to get basically 1,500 out of a team of people every hour. Okay? So you have 80,000 times 20 races. She said you have 20 races. Who cares? Doesn't matter the numbers, right? You can always work it around once you get it, once you know the math. Okay? That comes up to 1,600,000, which she says you need a dollar per vote to count these. I'll tell you, for a dollar per vote, I'll count them myself.
There you go.
I'll line up and just do it.
Yeah.
You know, if I really get 30 days to count them, I can count them by myself for $1.6 million. If you guys are really that stupid and going to pay me that kind of money.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the number of needs, the number of total hours for a single team, if you just had two people to count them, would be 1,066.66 hours. Okay? That sounds like a lot of hours. I suggest you have more than two people do it, right? Number of teams to complete the count in 4 hours would be 267 teams. Numbers to complete in 8 hours would be 133 teams. Number to complete in 12 hours would be 89 teams. If you count them at the precinct level, which is the best way. Because
they're right there.
Well, not only right there, it also keeps the cheating down. Because then, if let's say the supervisor election is having a race, right? If you give them access to all the ballots, they now can play with things. They can play with undervotes. They can play with other things. I'm not saying they would, but considering they get paid, you know, $160,000 a year times 4 years, you're talking a loss of $700,000 if they lose. Some people are motivated by that small amount of money. Anybody here? Anyway.
Cricket.
If done at the precinct level using six teams, you would be able to count that entire election in 3 hours. Everyone would go home before midnight, and you would have your results.
And you'd have enough money left to hire 3 police officers.
You'd have, well, if you got $1.6 million, you're paying your guys well.
Well, you know, they are taken care of, and we got a good police force here in Reading.
Well, you're paying them $500,000 apiece?
Well, no, some of them do pretty well, though, $200, $250. When you get done with benefits, you know, health in retirement and everything.
You can get 6 or 10.
They are very happy with our community, how supportive we are, the Reading Police Department. I'm sure the sheriffs also.
Well, and Clint, you're bringing up a good point. And, I mean, I will point out the obvious because you stated it more than once. You are a Democrat liberal.
Yes.
Okay. And first off, thank you. The evidence you're providing kind of supports what we on the other side have been saying, that there are anomalies. There are things that don't add up. And Kathy Darling is just obstinate. She won't look at any other model. She won't talk to you. She tries to hide what's going on as if she's the gatekeeper. And she forgot she works for us. She is our employee, and she's supposed to be there to secure the election, not to obscure the election.
Right. But in a lot of cases, you have these directors of elections that think it's a dictator of election.
Yes.
And that's where they go. They say, well, it's mine. I'm in charge. You get to see nothing. It's all mine.
Yeah.
I always question people like that. What are they trying to hide and why?
Well, and again, that's what I said earlier, is when she was questioned about it, because, was it Kash Patel? There was a guy who came. He was a big vote guy.
Frank.
And he actually went through and looked at the anomalies and came up with a list of anomalies that said, this is kind of odd. You might want to look into it. Wouldn't show anything. Would not defend or attack what was being said. And as I said, is if you genuinely have nothing, that is, there's no there. Show it.
Right.
That's the best way to shut up the competition.
But that's not what's happened ever.
No, I know.
Whenever anybody's trying to see anything, it doesn't happen.
Well, and then what you have said earlier is if it's on the computer, it's almost impossible to find anyways.
Right. Almost impossible. And they're not going to let you see the paper. I always play a game with people. I go, I'm going to show you why people don't trust elections. Pick a number, 1 or 2.
2.
You're wrong. Do you believe me? That was for $50, by the way. Did I forget to tell them about
it? I'll split it with you.
Nick will pay.
Do you believe me?
No.
No. Why not? It could be true.
Yeah.
50-50 chance, right?
That's right.
Double or nothing. I'm going to write it down, though.
Yeah.
Paper ballots. Double or nothing. Pick a number.
1.
Wrong, and I can't show you the paper.
Exactly.
Because I'm the election director, and I say you can't see it.
Yeah.
Do you believe me now?
Well, no.
Now you really don't believe me.
Yeah.
Let me show you where the Democrats are right now and where the Republicans were for the last 20 years. Double or nothing, 1 or 2?
2.
You're right. Do you believe me now?
No.
You're obligated to believe me or you owe me $100. And
no.
That's where the Democrats are right now. It's like they're obligated to believe this corporate-controlled election, or they have to go, could Trump maybe have won? You know, it's not saying he did win.
Could he?
You know, could he have won?
Yeah.
Well, he could have. Under the system we have now, he definitely could have. Could he have lost in 2016? My law firm filed the election challenge on that election for Trump's victory to try and get it to reevaluate it. Because there was so much hanky-panky and screwy stuff going on there. We had 500 pages of it, right? You think someone would read it? Nope, doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. And it's always been that way. The machines basically control the game.
In Shasta County, who's in control of the machines controls the game.
Whoever controls the machine last controls it. So let's say I go in and I hack it at 1 o'clock.
Now I'm going to interrupt here.
Okay.
One of the complaints from, and it's mostly from Democrats, so I'll just blame who I'm blaming, is that these machines are unhackable. They're not hooked up to the Internet. And you have now said a couple times that not only are they easily programmable, but they're easily hackable through a back door. So my question to you, are these machines, in fact, with a modem or something that hooks them up to the Internet where people of, let's say, nefarious intentions have access to them?
Well, the word Internet is the issue. They're lying to you and telling you the truth at the same time. Once you plug it in the wall, it is hooked up to a network. Okay? We always used to network through the house wiring.
Okay.
That's how we did it before there were modems and all that. We simply talk to the chip and say, okay, send my output through the house wiring. House wiring works great. Carries a lot of signal.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's great. You can still use it. D-Link actually sells a version where you can direct your Internet traffic right through your house so you don't have to run wiring.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Been out for about 25 years.
I'll be darned. And, Nick, the Internet, that's the electronic thing that people use nowadays. Just want to make sure you're up to speed.
I thought somebody was in that little box talking to me. Alexa, that's her name. She knows everything. She's the smartest girl I've ever met.
So back to the house wiring now. Come back.
But when they say Internet, Internet is actually a protocol that's being used. That's what we use on the Internet. What most people use on it. There are other signals there, but we're not going to talk about that, okay?
Gotcha.
But there are, we use HTTPS or FTP. Those are the two ports we actually address, right? And that's what the protocol is. Could the machine send out that? Yes. No one's going to check it unless they check their wiring because they're not going to do network traffic on the wiring, right? They should, but they don't, okay? Could they send out a different protocol? The protocols are different. There's tons of them. You know, back in the old days, we write our own. Or we'd use something, I don't know if you ever heard of Token Ring. Ever heard of Token Ring?
No, mm-hmm. I haven't.
Token Ring. Anyway, we used to all put them in a group together, and then the protocol would actually talk, and it would actually talk to every computer in that circle and say, I've got a message for Fred. Are you Fred? Nope. I got a message for Fred. Are you Fred? Nope. So it got a little better when we do IP addresses, because now we know who we're talking to. Because they say, I'm Fred, okay, I'm going to send to Fred. I don't have to go through Mary and Sarah and Joe to get to Fred. That's what Token Ring did, okay? Different protocol. The protocol is simply a header, an ender, and the message in the middle, right? And it's just bound together, and that's the message that goes through. If you're saying Internet and you're meaning HTTP or HTTPS, it may or may not be connected because you could use a different protocol. The military uses a different protocol, okay? They send things, and you will not catch it on the Internet because it is not an Internet protocol that you can receive.
Gotcha.
Okay?
So that's kind of what they're hiding behind is when they say, oh, it's not on the Internet, but it's not where you're looking, maybe.
Right. It's not where you're looking. Yeah. It's not that little icon at the bottom, which is just another toy you guys play with to, you know, go out and make me to go out and do some real code and pull up a list and then show you a video game, then you can touch it, and then I can say it's connecting. You know, that's what people think the Internet is. That's not what the Internet is. You know, it's not the way it works. On the baseline, on the actual programming level, that's not the way it works. It's simply not that easy, which is good because everybody would do it then, right?
Yeah.
How could you make any money?
Yeah. No kidding. So these machines can be then. They can be hooked up just
they
by
are.
Being plugged in.
They are hooked up.
They are. Let that sink in, folks. They are hooked up, and that has been the argument from the people trying to support the corporate voting, is they're not hooked up. There's no modems.
Kathy Darling Allen had an open house, and she took – anybody could go to it. You could go through it, and she showed you everything, how the votes were counted, all her personnel and everything. What she didn't take you over to was a Dominion machine.
And let you look at it.
That's right.
She may not be able to. Most of the contracts that these companies have actually lock the staff from the county out of the system. You're not allowed to test them anyway but how they're told to be tested. You're not allowed to check them in any fashion. You're not allowed to do any sort of blueprinting on them. You're basically restricted completely.
They're set up for fraud.
They're set up for fraud. Well, it also protects the company. because
they don't want to get sued.
Well, you don't want to get caught. You don't want errors. You know, if people test things on their own, you can get errors. So whenever you roll out a program and you're out there letting it checked, you want to keep people to push the buttons you want to push them.
Yes.
Because that's what you've tested and that's what you know works and that's what you know will work the way they want to see it. If they go monkeying around and pushing something weird on you, things can break because you didn't catch it. You didn't know. Or they might get in and find out it doesn't work at all. Take the Volkswagen case. In Volkswagen, they produced 11 million cars that had great gas mileage and very low emissions. It's a diesel car. Diesel cars don't usually have low emissions.
That's
good.
Right.
But they were great. Great car, right? Tested 100 million times, many of them in California. Strict testing. Passed every time, right?
Yep.
Turns out it's a lie. They had a couple of college kids go out and test the stupid thing, but didn't use machines. They just tested it the normal way by sticking it on and taking it out for a ride and found out the whole thing was a lie. That the test was simply the computer knew it was being tested.
Yep.
And so it ran one way for the test and another way when it's not. And it just belched emissions. It was like three times over what it's allowed to be. But it ran good.
Boy, you know. That's a good excuse to take our gas stoves away. We've over polluted. Jerome Peltzer, do you recognize that name?
I do not.
He is a geek and internet guy, and he had come up with some way that China had hitchhiked and stolen votes nationally. Did you hear anything about that or know anything about
that? I don't know. I usually don't get into other people's stuff.
Yes.
Because I try and keep it clean, you know, because I want the same message I've had 20 years ago to be today so someone can say, you're deviating, you know.
Okay, I understand that.
So if they watch stuff I've done 20 years ago, they'll hear exactly the same thing they hear today. Because like yesterday, we had the lady who isn't really on board with hand counting.
Yes.
Don't know what her name is. Anyway, you know, she's saying, well, has technology changed? Well, it's changed at the level you can see, the video game level. It hasn't changed at the base level.
Yeah, because everything's just ones and zeros.
It's ones and zeros. It's going down to ones and zeros.
I mean, I took computer science 2 semesters in college. I know what a one and a zero is, dang it.
Exactly. And that's how you talk to a computer. I don't care what you have up here, this little video game thing. You know, it doesn't matter. They're not more secure. They can't be. In fact, they're getting more complicated, which gives you, every time you complicate things, you have another avenue to poke it.
Possibly the most secure election that we've had in the last 25 or 30 years would be Afghanistan, where they put their finger in the ink pot to show they voted and it was hand counted.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Worldwide, that is.
Right. But then after they showed they voted, what happened with the ballot?
Well, hopefully somebody sat there and counted it. Here's one here. This is one. Okay, there's two. Now we've got two.
But
they put it in a machine.
They put it in a machine. Then guess what?
They got switched.
The purple finger was a waste of time. And you get a lot of that.
And you couldn't even pick your nose with it because it left the trail.
Well, it did a little bit, but it came off after a while.
Leave it to Nick to go there again. So you know, I've been listening to you since you started here, and as an originator from this system, from the get-go, you've seen that there's a problem with the system.
Yes.
Why doesn't – I don't mean to be over – I'm a simple guy. Nick's even simpler than me. How is it not getting through that these things are not secure?
Because of the game we just played. Because when you won, you're obligated to defend the win. And that's where people go. Plus, there's a god-awful amount of money out there that people can be thrown, you know, to basically get on board.
That's treason.
Well, it may be treason, but it's also commerce, and you get a lot of it. So you get you pay these companies millions of dollars without batting an eye, right? And then every 2 years you get to pay them another couple million because their system is out of date and they need to update it. Well, maybe not, but you know, I don't know exactly what they got.
I'll bring
goes places.
Okay. Well, I'll bring in the elephant in the room. Mike Lindell has said he has a system hand count that works. Is his system based kind of on the idea, or you know, have you talked to him about how to do it correctly?
I have showed him mine. I don't know which one he's using. There are a dozen systems out there that work.
And counting.
Who knows which one he's talking about? The one I have actually uses just like the little basketball counters, you know, when you score point presses. The purpose of having the basketball counter, there's absolutely no reason to have that. You could have a pencil. Is simply for mine, there's a video of it. Because we don't trust each other. We just don't. And the best way to get past that is simply to show everything.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree.
Because if you were running and you lost by 2 votes, you're going to watch every video to see if maybe somebody made a mistake, right?
Yeah. What would it cost to implement yours in Shasta County?
Next to nothing. It's 50. Well, let's say you were going to use, let's say you wanted to do it in 12 hours, right? So you have 89. You have 89 units. Hold on a second here. But I'm not selling it. I'll simply show you how to build it, okay? So I'm
Thank
not
you.
Making any money on this thing.
Hey, we just want honest election. I don't care who shows it.
That's $1.8 million we'll have more in our general fund.
I'm sure ESNS and Hart will have a little container version out in no time, so, you know, you get it from them. So anyway, let's see. You have 89 times 2, because 2 units, times $50. $2,225.
I think we could probably get a PayPal.
now, Nick, I have an idea.
If you want cameras, you'll have to add an extra $100 per, so that's an extra $890.
Maybe we could just borrow the police cams and put those up on
body
the
cams.
We
could have them.
Well, the ones
cams.
We use for the demo, we actually use phones. So you could use old cell phones. Because the cameras are good in the cell phones. You don't have to use a cell phone anymore. Just the camera is fine.
Everybody's got a cell phone.
Everybody.
Except me.
Wow.
You can't use your cell phone then.
So instead of Mrs. Darling's 1,300 people and $1.6 million, you're saying we can implement a system for less than, let's say, $4,000.
Right.
That includes cameras, for the record.
That includes cameras. And you essentially own it. You're not renting it. You're not paying anything on it. You bought it on Amazon. If you accidentally drop one, have to buy a new one, you're out $50. But, you know, even still, it's pretty cheap.
Nick, I say we make a proposal and we pocket the $1.59 million and we save the county that as a benefit and they get to spend $10,000 and have a working system. What do you think?
You know, I don't need any money. I want an honest election. That's all I want.
That's it. Completely.
Well, this is one that every Democrat will know is correct. And every Republican would know is correct.
That's all we want in our elections.
Not only will you have the cameras over there, but you have cameras shooting down. Because there is some weirdness that went on. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to accuse anybody outright because it just seems, you know, I don't have the facts. I just had, like, I heard this conversation.
Anecdotal evidence.
Yes. This was basically, apparently, and I've never seen any of these, so, you know, just take it for a grain of salt. But apparently the election person, the register of voters, name appeared in different spots on the ballot. We're shutting down?
No, good. You're
3 minutes.
Okay. Appeared at different spots on the ballots, and she said there was no barcode. Well, both of those can't be true, because if it is a separate ballot style, the only way the computer will know that is if you tell it. Otherwise, it doesn't count names. It counts spots on the ballot. So if her name appeared in a different spot and you're counting that spot for her or that spot for somebody else, it's going to be an incorrect count. Someone should look at that. Because if that occurred, there's going to be multiple people involved that had that happen.
Do you have any thoughts on counting systems for the handicapped? Dog for the nation. We've got the opportunity.
You do.
Clint, you have been awesome. Thank you so much because, oddly enough, we are on the opposite sides of the aisle, but a lot of what we have heard today is what Nick and I have been saying, is we just want integrity in the election. And you have just basically laid out what I would appear to be saying pretty factually. These machines, or any machines, are hackable, and we should try to make these elections secure so everybody trusts them.
For less than $5,000.
Right.
Wow.
Piece of cake.
We didn't get the weather report in. It's raining like an old cow peeing on a flat rock out there. Would you agree with that, Clint?
I'm still looking for my sunshine and beach. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for coming from Florida to help us learn, because this has been illuminating, to be honest with you.
And it's been a fun show.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming in, Clint.
Glad to be here.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.